Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy speculation and advice. Now, along with the guys from Fanball.com, here's the host for Fantasy Football Weekly, Paul Charchian.
It is time for America's longest-running fantasy show, Fantasy Football Weekly, an iHeartRadio production. I am your host, Paul Charchian from Fanball.com. My co-host today, Christian Peterson and Matt Harrison, also Fanball.com. Hello, guys.
Good day, Church.
Over the course,
I thought you were going to go good day, mate, for a minute.
I wish you had. Opportunity lost.
Yeah. Next time, get it right. Over the course of today, we'll break down every game fantasy style. As always, we don't care about which team is going to win other than your team. So we'll tell you how all the players are going to do in these games.
All right.
Yeah. Give you a rationale for why we feel that way. You can see if you agree or disagree. You can go with us or against us. We'll answer three tough questions. We'll give you nine players upon whom you can take a chance. And we'll jump into our time machine for the future and identify the players that everybody's going to be trying to pick up next week. But blammo, they're already on your team. Ha ha. Because you picked them up this week. That is a bit we call premature speculation.
Time travel is a new wrinkle for us.
It is. Welcome to the flux capacitor
is fluxing.
Yeah, and it makes the sound blammo. That's what the time machine goes. Yes, blammo. The cow goes moo. The time machine goes blammo. I want to dive into some matchups here, and we're going to sprinkle in some reaction to Thursday night's game as well, and what to do about guys like Cam Newton and O.J. Howard and some others throughout the show as well. But let's go right into some of the matchups, fantasy style, beginning with Jacksonville and Houston. Gardner Mayhew at the helm of the Jacksonville Jaguars. I once got a case of Gardner Mayhew from an Indonesian bathhouse.
Well, you should get Gardner Minshew instead.
Mayhew.
But I'm going to talk about him in a later segment because he might be a take-a-chance-on-me kind of quarterback.
Okay.
As for the rest of the Jaguars,
don't want to give anything away.
No,
Leonard
Fournette's getting an A grade. Played 86% of the snaps in Week One. Had 17 of the Jags' 18 running back touches. And the Houston run defense was the worst rated in Week One by Pro Football Focus, allowing 7.3 yards per carry. A grade. They're going to try to keep the ball out of the hands of their quarterback. Maybe.
I think so.
I don't know. D.D. Westbrook gets a B grade for me. Minshew targeted the slot a ton last year at Washington State, and that's D.D.'s spot. Texans slot cornerback Aaron Colvin did so well last week, 117 yards against, and then they cut him.
They cut him outright.
Which means they're starting Philip Gaines against Westbrook, and I like those odds. The rest of the Jags, Chris Conley and D.J. Chark, they're on the bench. It's not a revenge game for Chris Conley, so I'm not really interested in it. And Marquise Lee might end up going in this game, which would sap targets from both Conley and Chark. Chark was only targeted two times last week, so he's not worth it.
And by the way, I called a Chris Conley touchdown on the show last week.
Oh, where's a bird sound that we can play?
We're not going to stop the show every time we got something right.
Yes, we are.
Or wrong.
It's going to be a long show.
When you can call it your Chris Conley shot, that deserves the peacock right there.
We've got 2 hours, and there might be a lot of peacocks in this one. DeAndre Hopkins gets an A grade. He scored or topped 100 yards in each of his last four meetings with Jalen Ramsey, so I'm not worried about him. Mm-hmm. Deshaun Watson's getting a B. I'm only nervous, and he's only getting downgraded a little bit because he was sacked 6 times last week.
I know. We're right back to where we were last year.
He took 11 other hits, was dinged up for most of the game, in and out of the blue tent. That's not good. Still, the Chiefs lit up this defense last week, and Watson isn't much of a step down from Patrick Mahomes, so he gets the B. Will Fuller gets a C. Fuller was on the field for 97% of the snaps, but he only saw 3 targets. So I think that some positive regression needs to come there. Kiki Cutie might play, but might not. That means both him and Kenny Stills are on your bench.
Yeah.
And then Carlos Hyde and Duke Johnson, I gave both of them a C grade. Both are kind of viable here in a sneaky way. Hyde is second in the league in yards after contact per attempt at 6.3.
Jeez.
And he has Pro Football Focus's highest elusive rating after Week One.
Carlos Hyde. You know what else is going to be elusive? Him staying on top of that list is going to be elusive.
Duke was targeted the second most last week of all Houston receivers, and the Jags gave up 9 receptions to the Kansas City running backs last week. So Duke's in a good spot too.
Arizona takes on Baltimore. Christian, Kyler Murray with the fantastic second half of last week's game, but a much tougher matchup in Baltimore this time around.
Yeah, absolutely. Although there may be some garbage time stats to be had in this one, just like there. Well, it was sort of garbage time last week for Kyler Murray until he brought them all the way back.
Yeah, that's right. From it's somehow from garbage to treasure, I suppose.
I was working on Twitter on the name. Is it Murbage Time or Kylarbage Time?
I don't know if either one of those work. I think you're going to have to just go back to the drawing board.
We're workshopping. Come on.
Keep working. Keep shopping. Murray had that over 300 passing yards last week and needed 54 passing attempts and an overtime to get there. But it was interesting to see this offense get unveiled for the first time. They ran four wide receivers 73% of the time. So an interesting wrinkle there. But this time, like you mentioned, Charge, it's going to be a lot tougher against the Ravens. They were top five against the pass last year. They gave up just 190 yards and one touchdown through the air in their week one win over Miami. Granted, Miami.
And it was also garbage time, too.
So I've got Murray on a C grade here, and it's purely because with the Ravens favored by almost two touchdowns in this game, I think there's going to be garbage time.
No, come on.
Murp up
duty.
What about Murp up duty?
Okay, let's move on to the wide receivers. Yeah. Christian Kirk and Larry Fitzgerald are really the only two we need to discuss here. Interestingly, both of them are playing out of the slot most of the time with four wide receivers. They have two guys on the outside and two on the inside. They were both targeted heavily. Kirk targeted 12 times by Murray last week. Caught just four of them for 32 yards.
That's terrible.
It is terrible, but it's a good sign that they're using him that much. Baltimore did lose their starting slot corner to injury after week one. They also could be without Jimmy Smith, another of their cornerbacks. So there could be some stats to be had here for Christian Kirk. I gave him a B minus-ish. Starting grade?
Oh, we don't do minuses. You know that. No, this is we are firmly on whole grades around here.
I go away for a couple of years, come back, all of a sudden we're not doing minuses.
No.
What about pluses?
No, there's no pluses in fantasy football.
This is absurd.
Or minuses. Call it what it is, a B or
I'm going to call it a C then, if you're going to put a gun to my head.
I would too. How about Fitzgerald?
Fitzgerald gets a C too, just to spite you guys, because I would have given him a B minus, but he was targeted 13 times last week, 8 catches, over 100 yards. But this is a tough matchup. Only 3 wide receivers topped 100 yards versus the Ravens in all of 2018. So I don't know. He needs the volume here. Fitzgerald and Kirk both need the volume. I don't think they're each going to see double-digit targets, but I'm willing to give him another chance with just C grades.
Fitzgerald sees Brandon Carr, probably. Carr didn't give up a touchdown, not one last year.
It's a tougher matchup for him.
It's a tough matchup.
Yeah, I would play Kirk over Fitzgerald if for some reason you saw fit to roster both of them.
And have to make a call.
Nothing to see here with Keyshawn Johnson quite yet. He did have 10 targets, but that was in garbage time. And nothing to see with the tight ends, who aren't really even on the field in this offense.
No.
On the Ravens side, obviously Lamar Jackson is an A grade after that ridiculous debut in week one where he was really effective through the air and really didn't even bother to run the ball.
Didn't need to.
Which is part of his fantasy appeal. So it's a massive upside here in week two. Again, you could argue he should be the number one quarterback. Charge. I don't know
he's my number two behind only Tom Brady. And that's where I've got it.
Yeah, right the now. Cardinals just gave up Matthew Stafford's best passing game in almost 2 years. So a great spot for Jackson again here. His wide receivers, however, a little iffy. Marquise Brown had the huge couple of touchdowns last week, but was only targeted 5 times and only played 14 snaps.
Unbelievable. But that's a mandate for more snaps. I mean, it'll at least double. I mean, he's got to be sitting on 25 snaps this week.
You would think so, but Jackson only threw to the wide receivers a combined total of 10 times in week one, so I'm a little worried about the volume here. Marquise Brown is a boom or bust play, but you got to get him in there. I gave him a B grade. Miles Boykin, just one target and one catch in week one. He may be relevant down the road, but not quite yet, so he is on the bench. Mark Andrews, an A grade here. 8 catches for 108 yards and a touchdown. Jackson targeted his tight ends 15 times.
Wow.
The Cardinals just let Detroit rookie TJ Hockenson go off for 130 yards and a touchdown. So elite level start for Mark Andrews. The running game, Mark Ingram, also an elite level A start. 107 yards and two touchdowns last week, despite barely even playing.
Would you give him an A plus?
No, I don't do that.
No.
You should know that about me, Matt. I don't give pluses or minuses.
Stop trying to bait him into that.
I would never do that.
We are about whole grades here.
Cardinals last year were easily the worst run defense in the NFL. They gave up league highs in rushing yards and rushing touchdowns. Mark Ingram is an obvious A. You can even bring Gus Edwards into play here. Maybe he had more carries than Ingram last week.
Yeah.
That was in a lot of garbage time, but I think they're going to be up again in the second half. So Gus Edwards, let's give him a desperation C grade.
Yeah. For those that took the shot on Justice Hill, right now he's on the wrong side of that deal, and it looks like Gus Edwards, who's available in 98% of
leagues.
That's
every rookie running back outside of Josh Jacobs, though.
Yeah, practically, isn't it?
Yeah.
Devin Singletary, they all got backburnered. You're just going to have patience on them. Most of them, I think, are in good spots. Although Devin Singletary may be playable today. We'll find out later in the show. Dallas takes on Washington, and for the most part, this won't take long because it's basically start all your Cowboys and bench all your Redskins. But we'll dive in just a little bit here. If you're not treating Dak Prescott like a fantasy superstar, you don't get it right now. In the past four games, he's blown out the Giants twice. He's won a playoff game and scored multiple touchdowns in every one of those four games. Michael Gallup turning into a superstar. Amari Cooper already is one. The Redskins corners not nearly up to the task of stopping those two guys. And you look at what happened last week to the Redskins corners. DeSean Jackson, Alshon Jeffrey, just humbling them. Last year, Dak posted two good, not great games against Washington. I think they're up to great levels here. He is an A grade. Zeke is obviously an A grade. It goes without saying, particularly with defensive tackle Jonathan Allen knocked out for this game. I think Zeke's going to bounce back from last week's middling performance with a much better game here as well. Love Amari Cooper. Obvious A grade for him as well. Since arriving in Dallas, he's been targeted
9 times.
Per game.
9 times.
Per game.
Wow.
Yes. The Redskins secondary got torched for 3 scores last week. He's an A grade. Michael Gallup is almost an A grade, but we're going to call him a firm B. For Michael Gallup,
like we need some sort of designation in between A and B.
No, we don't. He has actually had more receptions and yards than Cooper, but over the last 2 games, this week one of this year, than going back to the last game last year. He more often runs from the left, where Gallup will match up with cornerback Quentin Dunbar. Dunbar's got the height and weight. Or hate and white to hang with Gallup, but does not have the skill set. And last year, Gallup posted 81 yards and a touchdown in the one game he played against them. Tony Pollard is now on the bench. For the Redskins, the only startable players here are Case Keenum. It's mostly garbage time here. Don't chase last week's box score on Keenum, obviously. Maybe in a pinch. Dallas has allowed 300 or more passing yards in 3 straight games going back to last year. And watch the status of elite cornerback Byron Jones. If Jones does go, then we're just going to bench Keenum outright. If Jones is out, then I think Keenum becomes a dart throw here. You could try Trey Quinn, who scored last week in garbage time, but another dart throw at best with him. A lot of people picked up Terry McLaurin.
Terry McLaurin!
tough matchup, though, this week against Chidobe Awuzie, the cornerback, who's very good. And then again, if Byron Jones comes back, he'd have to contend with him as well. Adrian Peterson's your starting running back, and it will not matter. That team cannot run the ball right now. We will go to fanball.com, where you can find instant access to my weekly rankings, my free $1,000 weekly contest, our podcast, and fanball.com is your portal to guillotinis. These are our mini guillotine leagues that run every single week. It started as a 17-man guillotine in the preseason.
They're not that many right now at 16 teams.
16. They're
getting teenier every week, though.
That's right. Fanball.com/charge for all of that. Coming up next, it's a bit we like to call Take a Chance on Me. 9 players who you would not normally start, but you can this week. You're listening to Fantasy Football Weekly, an iHeartRadio production.
Start a summer.
returns, courtesy of iHeartRadio. Paul Ciarchi and Matt Harrison and Christian Peterson with you. This segment is called Take a Chance on Me. Nine players not normally in your starting lineup, many of whom are available on the waiver wire. And this is a very special royalty-free version of Take a Chance on Me. With these three sleeper quarterbacks, running backs, and receivers, when they hit pay dirt, you pay us nothing. This is a royalty-free segment. Which is the same amount that we pay for this song. Nothing. In a very legally binding way. Absolutely, positively nothing for this particular song of Take a Chance on Me. Guys, let's start at the quarterback position. Who do you have, Christian?
I have Derek Carr this week going up against the Chiefs. What happens in Chiefs games is that they put up all sorts of points early on.
Yeah.
And the other team is forced to play catch up,
yes,
or at least attempt to. And what happens is the other team usually puts up big stats as well. Last year, the Chiefs were a bottom five pass defense. They allowed the most passing yards to opposing quarterbacks, nearly two touchdown passes per game. And Derek Carr is no exception in his last two home games against the Chiefs. 285 yards and three touchdowns, followed by 417 yards and three touchdowns. He's coming off an efficient week one performance where he was only asked to throw the ball 26 times, but he's going to have to throw the ball a lot more in this one, and I like his chances of putting up big numbers while trying to keep pace with the Chiefs.
One might call that garbage time.
Garbage time.
The very man after which that term was coined.
Originally invented, yes. All right, Matt, who's your take a chance on me quarterback?
I've got Gardner Minshew, the Mississippi mustache, at 5,100 on Fanball this week, by the way. He's a sixth-round rookie. He takes over for the injured Nick Foles. Minshew was credited by Pro Football Focus with a 100% adjusted completion percentage, which means that 100% of the balls he threw were on target.
How about that?
He faces a Houston team that just got pasted by Drew Brees last week for 370 yards. Six of the last seven quarterbacks who have faced the Texans have topped either 300 yards or thrown for multiple scores, with five of those accomplishing both of those feats. Mm. Gardner Minshew.
All right, Gardner Minshew. I thought he was the Indonesian Indian or something, no?
No, he's the Mississippi mustache.
Okay. Josh Allen goes up against the Giants. He's only $5,900 on Fanball. It's over the last... Giants, by the way, if it were not for the Dolphins, the Giants would have the worst defense in the league, and they still might. I think it's still going to be... This is a 1A and 1B situation. Over the last three games, going back through last year, Giants are giving up an average of 383 passing yards and 3.5 touchdown passes per game. I don't need Josh Allen to get me a full 383 and 3.5. How about two-thirds of that? Give me like 270 and 2.5, and I'd be pretty happy. He'll chip in more with his legs. Giants defense still has not found suitable replacements for Landon Collins. And then they lost Olivier Vernon in the offseason. They were the dead last pass rush defense by Pro Football Focus last week. Giants were. I'm telling you, even Josh Allen cannot screw this up. He's going to throw a bunch of deep balls, and some are going to connect.
Don't forget that he just got to spend time in New York all this week because he was in the same stadium last week on an away game.
Great point. Just stayed there. Maybe that was it. And then he might even rush in a little something extra for you as well. Josh Allen, take a chance on me quarterback. Let's go to the running backs.
I'm going to roll with Chris Thompson of the Redskins going up against the Cowboys. Church, you just callously dismissed the entire Redskins backfield when you talked about the matchup in the previous segment. And I agree, they can't run the ball, but what they can do is throw the ball to their running backs.
I was just leaving Chris Thompson for you. That's
specifically
all.
Chris Thompson, who led all Redskins players in targets last week with 10, catching seven of them for 68 yards. And the matchup here favors pass-catching running backs. The Cowboys allowed the fifth most receptions to opposing runners last year. They yielded seven catches to the Giants in week one. And now, with Adrian Peterson in the game instead of Darius Geis, he's even less of a threat to catch receptions than Geis was. So I think Thompson's going to be in this game. They're going to be playing catch up. They're going to be dumping it off to him quite a bit. Just 4,700 on Fanball this week as well.
Okay.
Malcolm Brown is only 4,200 on Fanball this week, and he's become a true vulture with four carries from inside the 10 and two short touchdowns last week. However, yards after contact per attempt, Malcolm Brown number seven in the league at 4.6. That's
not bad.
He's not involved in the passing game at all, never having more than two targets in a game in his entire career, but that doesn't matter because the Saints made Carlos Hyde and Duke Johnson look like Todd Gurley in his prime last week, allowing 7.3 yards per carry. 10 carries, 85 yards, and a score for Malcolm Brown this week.
I like it. Darren Sproles, way off everybody's radar. Darren Sproles, this is your one chance probably on the year to start him. Almost free in Fanball's salary cap system. He was more involved in last week's game plan than anybody would have expected, I think. On the field for 23 plays, which was five more than Jordan Howard was, and Howard was the presumed starter for this one. Now, obviously, Sproles is not going to chip in ground yardage in any meaningful way, but...
He might. He had like nine carries last week.
I know. Well, probably not in a meaningful way. Yeah, maybe. Falcons have allowed... You guys already know this. You know where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
Falcons have allowed the most running back touchdowns last year, the year before that, the year before that, and the year before that.
I think it's safe to say that we will always have a take a chance on me pass catching running back going against the Falcons.
That's right. It's
a tradition.
I'm doing it this time because I believe Darren Sproles should be in the Hall of Fame. He is number six all time in yards. That's awfully impressive.
So you're basing his week two prognosis on his entire career?
That's right. Which now spans like 15 seasons. Yeah. Darren Sproles, let's go to the receiver positions. Your take a chance at me receiver.
Yeah, I'm going to roll with Mecole Hardman this week on the opposite side of that Chiefs versus Raiders matchup that I talked about. You may remember Hardman as the guy that the Chiefs drafted this spring to replace Tyreek Hill when it wasn't at all clear whether Tyreek Hill was ever going to play in the NFL again.
Right.
Then Hill came back and everybody forgot about Hardman. And now Hill is hurt again. And here comes Hardman. He did play 80% of the snaps in week one, even with Hill in the game for at least part of it.
Yeah.
But he's the guy who's going to step into that role of playing deep threat. And anybody who's going to get looks in this offense, especially as a deep threat replacing Tyreek Hill, is worthy of your attention this week. So go grab him. He's on the waiver wire in most leagues, or at least was as of earlier this week.
All right.
I've got Cole Beasley at 4,100 on Fanball. That's almost a free space. He didn't put up the huge numbers that John Brown did last week, but he did have nine targets, which only trailed John Brown by one. He caught four of five of his targets from the slot, but also ran 10 routes from out wide and saw four targets on those 10 routes. The Giants' defense is terrible. I'll highlight how awful they are amongst outside receivers later, but every Cowboys wide receiver had a great day, including slot man Randall Cobb, who had his best day in years.
Yeah.
With 69 nice yards and a score.
Josh Allen was my take a chance on me quarterback.
Let's hook him up.
Let's hook those two up. Vance McDonald is my take a chance on me receiver slash tight end in this case. He only had two receptions last week, but was on the field for 71% of the Steelers' plays. And his backup, Xavier Grimble, was on the field for two plays in the entire game. McDonald will be more involved in this game. Seattle allowed nine tight end touchdown receptions for 93 yards last week. And Seattle's allowed at least 70 tight end yards in five of the last six games going back to last year. This is going to be a bounce back game for Vance McDonald. I am confident. $4,700, by the way, on Fanball. If you're wondering what you got to pay on Fanball to get a little Vance McDonald action, it's not bad. I don't think. Buffalo taking on the Giants. Matt, we've just talked about this one in a fair amount of detail.
Yeah,
Josh
a little
Allen
bit.
Might take a chance on me quarterback. Cole Beasley, you take a chance on me wide receiver. Who's left to talk about?
Let's talk about John Brown. He's a B grade, but if there was something between a B and an A that I could give him, it's pretty close to something right
void.
Between
it's
those
just
two.
There's a big void right there.
It's a chasm between those two grades.
A vacuum.
Like slightly better than
slightly
a B,
better
but
than
not
a B.
quite an A.
Not quite
somewhere in that range.
Yeah, right there. Perimeter wide receivers torched the Giants defense last week as Michael Gallup and Amari Cooper totaled 13 catches, 264 yards, and a touchdown against this Giants D. The Giants only managed one pressure on Dak last week in 32 dropbacks. There's going to be plenty of time for Josh Allen to look around, get Brown downfield, and hit him with a deep ball. Devin Singletary, I'm actually giving a B grade to as well,
baby.
With Frank Gore and TJ Yeldon on the bench. Devin Singletary leads the NFL in rushes of 10-plus yards with four.
Which is about all the carries he had.
Yep. He had four rushing attempts.
Right.
he also did have five receptions, too. Gore did out-touch Singletary 10-9, but that ends now. It's over now.
It should be. Well, okay. We think it should be.
It's
over. It's got to be
not
over.
If Matt Nagy has anything to say about it.
Come on. All right. other side, this is pretty easy. Saquon Barkley, easy A. Don't even have to talk about it. He's an easy A in any lineup. Evan Engram, A grade as well. Sterling Shepard is out. That's 7 vacated targets from last week, and I bet they all go to Engram, who already had 13 targets in his big performance. Mm. Saquon and Engram are literally their only chance to win. Eli Manning, the rest of the team is on the bench. Cody Latimer is in anyone's lineup this week, but he did have the most targets among wide receivers last week with 8.
Gross.
But he's still on the bench.
He is on the bench. I worry a little bit with the dearth of receiving talent. No Golden Tate, no Sterling Shepard. That the Bills might just take away Evan Engram and basically say, you know, go beat us with Cody Latimer.
They might try, but Saquon Barkley is still there, and Evan Engram's playing in the tight end position.
Right,
they don't need wide receivers.
Let's work in one more matchup. Indianapolis taking on Tennessee. Marlon Mack was awesome last week. Leads the NFL in rushing yards with 174. Now he gets Tennessee.
Yeah, he was awesome, and it sure seems like the Colts, without Andrew Luck now, have sort of turned their attention to the running game and running behind their mauling offensive line, mm-hmm. and it worked like a charm in week one. You mentioned 174 yards on 25 carries. When these two teams met in week 17 of last year...
So 2 games ago.
2 games ago, Mack had 25 carries for 119 yards.
Yeah.
And a touchdown. So I've got him as a solid A here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's in that group of A's that's
right in,
all right,
right
there.
Yeah,
and then there's
right
a huge cliff down to the B's.
That's right.
Mack is right in there with the A's.
A's. That's right. Clearly.
Yeah. So
definitively
let's
an A.
Yeah, so let's move to the passing game. Jacoby Brissett, I have him on the bench here. Just didn't have the attempts, didn't have the volume last mm-hmm. week. Just 27 pass attempts, 190 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Really no reason to think about putting him in the lineup on the road against a solid Titans pass defense. T.Y. Hilton is the only receiver you need to be concerned about here. 9 targets in week one, 87 yards and 2 touchdowns. No other receiver had more than 5 targets, so it's all T.Y. Hilton all the time. Hilton also had 9 catches for 155 yards and 2 touchdowns the last time the Colts traveled to Tennessee. Still, because of the lack of volume and the uncertainty here, just a B grade for Hilton. None of the wide receivers are worth anything. Tight ends were targeted just 6 times in week one. I know Scott Fish earlier went to bat for the idea that Jacoby Brissett was going to throw a lot to the tight ends, but we didn't see it in week one.
And
we still have Ebron and Doyle splitting looks there, so don't worry about either one of them. On the Titans side, there's a couple things to talk about. Let's start with the easy one. Derrick Henry is an easy A after last week's explosion, 84 yards and a touchdown on the ground, 75 yards and a touchdown through the air. The Colts just got eviscerated for 219 combined rushing and receiving yards and 3 touchdowns by the Chargers running backs last week. So Derrick Henry, is he number one on your running back ranks?
No,
I haven't looked.
He's
gotta
good.
Be close.
He's not one, but he's up there.
Okay, passing game. I've got Marcus Mariota on the bench. I'm not fooled by last week's box score. It looks nice, 248 yards and 3 touchdowns, but he had just 24 pass attempts. 30% of his yards came on a dump off that Derrick Henry took 75 yards for a touchdown.
Untouched at that.
Untouched, right. So I'm not buying it on Mariota. I'm going to leave him on the bench. I want to make him prove it at least one more week. The wide receivers were kind of a mess. They combined for just 4 catches and 105 yards in week one.
Mm-hmm.
A.J. Brown had 3 of those catches and 100 of those yards. So he's the guy that you have to look at here. If you're desperate to get in a wide receiver here, I'd give him a C grade. Corey Davis, man, 3 targets.
Oh, it's over.
0 catches. Although he was going up against Browns cornerback Denzel Ward, who is legit. He's turning into a shutdown type guy.
Yeah.
But needless to say, you can't have Davis in your lineup. The only other guy we're concerned about here, tight end Delanie Walker. Welcome back, Delanie, with 2 touchdowns in week one. The Colts allowed the most catches and yards to opposing tight ends in 2018. So let's keep it going with a B start on Delanie Walker this week.
I'm listening to that. I think it makes sense. By the way, if you're wondering, Marlon Mack, who you just mentioned, running back 4 this week. Derrick Henry, running back 5.
Wow, Mack
so
ahead of Henry.
I've got one spot, but they actually graded out with the exact same grade.
Yep.
9.5 out of 10, because you can use halves apparently in my grading system.
Yes, but not in this.
But not in this. You've probably heard us talking about guillotine leagues. The hottest new format in fantasy sports. Each week, the low-scoring team gets cut from the league, and their entire roster goes to the waiver wire. It makes for insane waiver wire runs. People are tweeting me about Saquon Barkley hitting the waiver wire, Alvin Kamara hitting the waiver wire this week. You can learn more and even join a Guillotine League by going to guillotineleague.com, powered by fanball.com. Coming up next on Fantasy Football Weekly, we will break down more matchups, including the Chargers and the Lions. Austin Eckler, awesome last week. What about this week? We'll tell you when we come back. Listening to Fantasy Football Weekly, an iHeartRadio production. I am Paul Charchi, and my co-hosts are Christian Peterson and Matt Harrison. Christian Peterson is at Twitter, at CoolerHeads29.
You got it.
And Matt Harrison is at Explosive Output. I am at Paul Charchi, and you can hear us over the air on many stations around the country. And this show is also a podcast available every Friday on all the major podcasting platforms, including the number one destination for podcasts, the iHeartRadio app. Chargers take on the Lions, and it was a great game for Austin Eckler last week, but I'm a little more cautious this week around because the Lions committed to beefing up their defensive line over the last year. They traded for Snacks Harrison. Then in the offseason, they added a Matt Patricia favorite going back to his days with the Patriots and Trey Flowers, but those two got off to a very slow start after combining for only three tackles last week, and they let David Johnson pile up 137 total yards. Still,
Johnson was pretty involved in that passing game
too. And that's your best angle for Eckler for sure. Eckler's a very good receiver, and so that's your angle and why he's still a B grade here. If you're just talking about running up the middle, I don't like Eckler so much, and that's a lot of why I don't like Justin Jackson at all. And he is on the bench. He only got 25% of the snaps last week, and then again, he's trying to run up the middle right at Snacks Harrison, and that's more his bit, is between the tackles. So I'm out on Justin Jackson. Let's go to the passing game, where no Hunter Henry. Mike Williams probably does not play with a knee injury, although I think technically a game-time decision for him. That leaves Phillip Rivers with Travis Benjamin, maybe? And Benjamin's got to take the sleigh ride, Darius Slay, in this one. So I don't...
We need some sleigh bells, by the way, for the sleigh ride. That would be pretty great.
All right, we're on it. Brianna's making a note right now. Get the sleigh bell signs for Darius Slay. I don't. What would the Joe Iron Hayden sound be?
Like a clink, like the league say vault closing.
Oh, yeah, maybe, but it's a creaking sound, right? What about the pokey part of the Iron Maiden?
That's, ouch.
Ouch. Anyway, Phillip Rivers is just a C grade here. Although, we're interesting to note, the Lions go from last week trying to stop Kyler Murray, right? This really raw, amazing athlete with all the speed. And then now they go to a savvy veteran with 213 career starts and is as mobile as a statue. So Larry Fitzgerald terrorized the Lions from the slot last year. And Keenan Allen still has a good opportunity here, who runs his routes from the majority of the time from the slot. And without Hunter Henry and Mike Williams, I think that becomes really the whole game for Phillip Rivers, is whether or not you trust Keenan Allen. I do. I've got a B grade on Rivers, a B grade on Keenan Allen, in the hopes that they can do enough there. I wouldn't try Travis Benjamin. Let's go to the Detroit side. Kerryon Johnson, epic disappointment.
He's not that good.
No, I think he is good. I like him again here. I'm going back to the well. I liked him last week. I liked him here. Marlon Mack just hammered the Chargers for 174 yards, as Christian elucidated moments ago. The Chargers have allowed nearly two running back touchdowns per game over their last five games. Johnson got a 2-to-1 ratio of usage and snap counts over CJ Anderson. So he's my preferred guy, but I still have an A grade on Kerryon Johnson. I got a C on CJ Anderson because it was a 2-to-1 snap count, and that's not that bad. He carried the ball 11 times last week, and the game script here should be tilted much more towards the run than last week. So I like CJ Anderson as a sneaky starting grade of a C. Let's go to the passing game. For Matthew Stafford, do not chase last week's box score against Arizona. Arizona was missing both their starting cornerbacks. This time, it's going to be a lot of running. Last year, the Chargers were an inconsistent run defense. And then, as I mentioned earlier, Marlon Mack ripped them last week. I just don't think that this is going to be a passing game. There's not going to be a lot of volume. Just a C grade on Matthew Stafford. C grade on Kenny Golladay. Unlike last week, he's got a brutal matchup. He gets Chargers cornerback Casey Hayward, who allowed the least separation to wide receivers last year and the sixth lowest catch rate to wide receivers in his coverage last year. Casey Hayward is awesome, and he likely shadows Kenny Golladay for much of this game. Let's go to TJ Hockenson. Last week, setting the all-time tight end debut yardage record.
Yeah.
And didn't need the overtime to do it. He set it in regulation. So don't let anybody put an asterisk on the end of that record of TJ Hockenson's. The Chargers held the Colts' excellent tight ends only three receptions last week. And so when I look at that, I got to figure this is probably not going to be anything close to last week's game by volume. And again, run-heavy script. I don't think we're going to have anywhere near the kind of success for TJ Hockenson this week, but still startable with a C grade. And Marvin Harrison, only lightly involved.
Marvin Harrison still in the
Marvin
league?
Marvin Harrison. Marvin Harrison coming out of retirement. Wait, is he still in prison?
I don't think he ever went to prison.
Did he never go to prison?
No.
After all the shenanigans and the guns and everything?
I don't think he did.
All right, Marvin Jones, only lightly involved last week coming off his injury. And again, game script is not ideal for him. He is on the bench. New England taking on Miami. Matt, start everybody from the Patriots bench, everybody from the Dolphins. Can we just move on?
Yeah, almost. I would like to propose a new Fantasy Football Weekly rule.
Okay.
We're not going to mention the Dolphins until there is a starter.
A fantasy starter.
We're just going to say leave them all on the bench until further notice.
So I didn't even get to say the name. Like the Patriots are playing.
No, well, we can say
the name.
The Dolphins? Name of the Dolphins. Yeah.
We just don't ever like toss to the Dolphins side of it.
Yeah, we don't need to.
Okay.
Do you want me to talk about the Dolphins?
No.
I don't really want to talk about them.
No, there's
they're all on the bench.
Even garbage time, you can't count on garbage time against the secondary. So, no, I don't think there's a startable Dolphin.
No, it's gross.
All right.
The Patriots. A starts for Tom Brady, Julian Edelman, Josh Gordon, and Antonio Brown if he plays. Obviously, the allegations against him are serious, and I did see that they're not going to put him on the commissioner's exempt list.
He's playing.
And the Patriots haven't said whether or not they're playing. They're playing.
He's playing.
So fire him up in your lineup. If he sits somehow, Edelman and Gordon go up to an A and a half grade. Philip Dorsett gets a C.6 grade. That would uptick to B.
Now you know why. Now you know why we don't do the pluses, the halves, or any of that stuff. This is why. It turns out, it's a B minus, minus, plus minus.
Dorsett plays a similar style to Hollywood Brown, who logged two long touchdowns against the Finns last week. And then the running backs, Sony Michel, James White. James White's a little bit dinged up, and now, or actually, no, not dinged up.
He's got the possible birth of a child.
So he might not go.
Yeah.
They're all Bs anyway. Michel, White, and Rex Burkhead. Michel led the backfield with 15 carries. There should be plenty of garbage time here where they're just grinding clock. Both Burkhead and White had five catches, although Burkhead had one more target than White.
Mm-hmm.
Burkhead led the running backs in opportunities with the eight targets plus eight carries. He logged 5.5 yards per carry on the ground as well. So Burkhead's kind of a sneaky play. It's like a bonus take a chance on me here. He could have more run in the game too, since it's probably going to be a blowout in the second half. It might be just all Rex Burkhead in the second half. So that's it.
Sony Michel had the 15 carries for 14 yards.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. There's going to be a get right game.
Doesn't it feel that way?
Yeah they're going to
the
get him
right
going.
Is right here.
Yep.
I think it's I had to put an A grade on him. San Francisco taking on Cincinnati. There was not a lot to love about the San Francisco offense in the first week of the season. You feel any better about them as they travel to Cincinnati?
No, not particularly. Certainly not about the passing game. I mean, Church, these are your guys. Garoppolo, Dante Pettis. What's happening here?
Garoppolo,
166 yards and one touchdown in week one against a bottom five pass defense in the Bucs that he should have been able to move the ball against.
Mm-hmm.
The Bengals were also not a good pass defense last year, but I just have no confidence in Garoppolo, so he's on the bench. Along with all of his wide receivers, who combined for 12 targets. The most targeted was Deebo Samuel with 3.
We'll talk more about him later.
And then you've got Marquise Goodwin, who was 2nd in snaps amongst San Francisco wideouts, which I bring up mainly because I like the word amongst. It's fun to say. And then Dante Pettis, he's practically dead, Charge.
Well, 2 snaps.
2 snaps.
But it's a groin injury, and they say he's fully healthy now, and he'll get more snaps.
Man, so
you like him so much that you cut him in our Empire League.
I did.
Oh, man. What a disaster.
I know.
Tight end is not a disaster, though. George Kittle, 10 targets last week, caught 8 of them. If you weren't watching, you may not have noticed that he had 2 touchdowns called back because of penalties. He was all over this game. He's an easy A start against the Cincy defense that allowed more tight end touchdowns than any other team last year. So let's go to the running game. Matt Breda now steps into a mostly full-time role with Tevin Coleman out with that high ankle sprain. Mm-hmm. Coleman looks like he'll be out 4 to 6 weeks. So this is Breda's chance until he gets injured, which won't take long.
He got knocked out of last week's game.
Yeah, so,
came back,
so
but still.
Raheem Mostert.
Yeah. Mostert.
Could be in the mix as well. But
I think he will be.
Yeah, probably. Really, you can look at Breda this week as an interesting option because Cincinnati was bad against the run last year. Opposing running backs averaged nearly 5 yards per carry. They did hold Chris Carson to 46 yards on 15 carries in week one, so maybe they've started to figure some stuff out.
But scored twice.
Yeah, I've got Breda with a B-level start here, and Mostert I have on the bench just because he's probably going to get 6 to 8 touches unless Breda gets hurt, and we can't predict that, so I've got him on the bench. Other side of this matchup for the Bengals, let's start with Andy Dalton.
Fire up the peacock,
somebody's
baby.
Take a chance on me, quarterback, last week.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I'm sure all of you started Andy Dalton in your leagues last week.
I did in one. I started him in a 2-quarterback league.
I did say to start Andy Dalton over Jared Goff to several people.
Nice.
That worked out.
If it's not on this show, I really don't want to hear your mutterings around the
Twitter,
office.
Twitter, baby.
Nicely done by explosive output. The career high 418 yards last week. And let's not forget that Dalton has had a couple of top 10 quarterback, fantasy seasons 3 and 4 and 5 years ago.
Right. Yeah. Back when AJ Green played a lot.
Yeah. It looks like this new offense, this new coaching staff is a little bit more willing to air it out just a little bit. Mm-hmm. So, and the matchup here is pretty good. The 49ers were able to flummox Jameis Winston last week, although he's flummox prone.
Easily, do you like the word flummox as well?
I do. I do, in fact. But last year, they allowed the most quarterback passing touchdowns. So this is a matchup Dalton can exploit again. I gave him a B-level grade. Along with Tyler Boyd and John Ross, each of his top 2 wide receivers, Bs for both of those guys. Boyd had 11 targets and 8 catches. Ross, of course, erupted. 7 catches for 158 yards and 2 touchdowns. I certainly don't think we're going to see a repeat of that, but just the fact that those two guys are so heavily involved without AJ Green here, I think that brings them into the mix. 49ers were bad against wide receivers last year. They allowed a league-worst 27 wide receiver touchdowns, so both of those guys are in play. The tight ends are not. They split 11 targets and 9 catches between CJ Uzoma and Tyler Eifert, so those guys are on the bench. That brings us to the running game, and Joe Mixon sprained ankle in week 1, knocked him out, didn't practice until Friday. He did return to practice on Friday, so that gives him a chance to play. You're going to have to keep an eye on the injury report just to make sure. This is a good matchup. Tampa running backs averaged over 5 yards per carry and 170 combined rushing and receiving yards against the 49ers last week. So
if he doesn't go, Gio Bernard is an auto start.
That's right. Last year, Mixon sat out a couple of games. In those 2 games, Bernard got every running back touch and had at least 65 combo yards and a touchdown in both. So have Bernard ready just in case Mixon doesn't play.
That's actually your best case scenario for fantasy.
It would be preferable.
If Mixon's out, which removes all question about whether you should even start Mixon or whatever else, and then if you've got Gio Bernard, you deploy him 100%, right?
Yeah, I agree. It makes it much, much simpler. Yeah. Unless, of course, you own Mixon and you don't have Bernard.
An issue. Yeah, but somebody else owns Bernard and he's listening right now and he gets to go start him, which isn't half bad. Thursday night game, Cam Newton.
Yeah.
Droppable or not?
Let's go to the Cam Newton desk and Christian Peterson.
Man. You know, it's you it get nothing. Really, you get really nothing ugly. On the ground, and it's been this way. Yeah. You get nothing on the ground for him anymore.
And that's the problem. It sure seems that way, that they've just completely gone away from any pretense of running with him, and that was where a significant portion of his fantasy excellence came from. So I'm not dropping him quite yet. I'm going to give him another week or two to see what happens, but he's
Ron
close.
Rivera will be the first coach fired in the NFL this year.
Wow. It's not impossible that you're right about that.
New owner in Carolina?
Yeah, aren't they 1-9 in their last 10? Rivera
won. They lost, I think, 6 of their last 7.
Yeah, we're only a couple weeks away from this.
Yeah. Coming up next, let's answer 3 tough questions beyond the Cam Newton one. You can play along. Try to go a perfect 3-0 on Fantasy Football Weekly. Fantasy Football Weekly. I'm Paul Charchian, fanball.com. My cohorts are Christian Peterson and Matt Harrison. You are my panel of experts, gentlemen. And that means it's time to get into the grinder with 3 tough questions. Listeners, you can play along. See if you can go 3-0.
Tough question number 1.
With Antonio Brown now on board, is Tom Brady an every single week automatic starter? Christian.
Yes, I'm going to say yes. Although, I mean, is Antonio Brown on board? Certainly, you know, sure looks like he's going to be for week 2. We don't know beyond that. But honestly, even without him, the way that this offense functioned in week 1 was pretty impressive. And let's recall, Brady has been a top 12, at least a top 12, if not, you know, top 3 fantasy quarterback every single uninjured year since 2007.
Unreal.
Really, the only reason that he wasn't coming into this year is because we weren't sure who he was going to throw to.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Gordon hadn't been reinstated. Antonio Brown wasn't around. Gronk retired. So it wasn't clear. They had Julian Edelman and a bunch of question marks.
Yeah.
All of a sudden now Gordon's back. Brown is in the fold. So, yeah, absolutely. He's an easy every week starter at this point.
Yeah, CP took most of my thunder, but I want to ask you to tell me when they're going to lose in this schedule. This week at Miami, next week against Trevor Siemian and the Jets, then at Buffalo, then at Washington, then the Giants at home, then at the Jets. That's 7-0. They don't play another moderately tough team until week 8 at home against Cleveland.
Yeah.
And who knows if Cleveland's good. So Tom Brady's going to be a start just about every week until then.
At Baltimore, I think week 9.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, it's going to be a juggernaut. And I was going to go right to the schedule. You took all my points. No playoff team on the schedule until week 9.
Yep.
It's unbelievable. They're just the rich get richer with that particular organization. It wasn't that tough a question. The correct answer is yes.
Tough question number 2.
Should fantasy owners hold Hunter Henry or drop him, Matt?
This question was tougher, Charge.
It is tougher. It's a lot tougher.
You're in the grinder.
Yeah. In fact, on Twitter, John DiNunzio told me to guard my Broca's lobe during this question because it would be a shame if I weren't able to move my tongue or facial muscles to produce the sounds of speech. Thanks, John.
That would be very impressive.
Unfortunate,
John.
At this moment.
Good thing I guarded it.
Well, for those of us that have been listening to you, we'd actually welcome you being unable to form words.
Wow.
That's right.
You can drop Hunter Henry and redraft. It's a tibia plateau fracture, which can be a 4-6 week injury, although J.J. Watt had this injury in 2017 and missed the rest of the season, and he had it early as well. The Chargers honestly don't know when and if he can come back, and let's say he comes back in late October. He gets the Bears, Packers, Broncos, Jaguars, and Vikings defenses on his schedule. His only easy games are a game against the Chiefs and 2 games against the Raiders. Those are probably the only starting grades he gets unless he's 100% healthy. So I think you can drop him.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. I think the original timeline here of 4 to 6 weeks seems optimistic based on what we've heard from other people who have suffered this injury. And another factor here is that there are now other tight ends that you can go and get. There are legitimate tight ends that might have been on your waiver wire, including Darren Waller after week one, TJ Hockenson, who erupted in week one, even Delanie Walker, who most people probably weren't drafting, and he had 2 touchdowns. He looks like he's back. So I think the fact that there are legitimate tight ends actually that you can go and get means that you can't waste the roster spot for Hunter Henry.
Dr. Harrison and Dr. Peterson, by all means, feel free to override all the team doctors who have actually looked at his knee and set the timetable for recovery.
Charge, I consulted online doctors, yes. And the online doctors are never wrong.
Yeah, Nick Riviera, online doctor. He is expected to come back in 4 to 6 weeks. It could just as easily be 4 as 6, and either way, that's enough that you're going to hold him. There just aren't enough good tight ends to kick one to the curb.
Didn't all you
the
hear guys, what I said, Jared?
All the guys you mentioned
I just
are
said
on
there
rosters.
Are.
They're on rosters. TJ Hockenson is on a
Not
roster.
In redraft?
He is.
Don't know. Not
Absolutely.
After your perennial advice that you can't trust rookie tight ends.
Some of the tight ends that we were counting on look super dubious right now. O.J. Howard, Kyle Rudolph, Jared Cook, Jack Doyle. They all underwhelmed. We don't know that you can go to war with those guys.
You're really going to bring Jack Doyle into this? You're grasping at straws.
You can't find a tight end
you're chasing
who averages half a touchdown per game anywhere else. It costs you a roster spot for a month. Big deal, because when he comes back, you've got a potentially top 5 tight end the rest of the year. You can't walk past that. So
let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Ooh. If you have Hunter Henry.
Yeah, wait. What is this?
If you have Hunter Henry, Kareem Hunt, a guy who you told everybody to draft, and maybe AJ Green on your bench right now, then what do you do? Are you dropping Hunter Henry at that
who's
point?
Who's got that combination of players? I would advocate holding any one of those players.
Okay.
But most people don't have enough rosters to hold all 3.
Okay.
And most people with Hunter Henry don't have Kareem Hunt.
Tough question number 3.
Should fantasy owners be holding any Jets receiver, Christian?
Let me ask you a question. No, just kidding. I would never do that to you.
No,
how dare me?
What was the question?
Should fantasy owners be holding any Jets? Receivers.
Yeah, I mean, this question comes up because of the Sam Darnold news, where he's going to be out 3 to 4 weeks with mono.
And let me just get ahead of the story. I gave it to him. I know there's been a lot of internet rumors.
It was me.
Okay, right. Let's just move on, and we're now ahead of the story.
Guess I got to go get mono tested now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, bad news. So that's where this question comes from, right? But I think Jamison Crowder is the only guy that you can hold here after his 17 target week one performance. I mean, he's the guy in this offense that's going to play in the slot. They're going to, if anything, I think Trevor Siemian is going to focus on him as much or more, because he's incapable of throwing the deep ball. So Robbie Anderson, you can get rid of him. Demaryius Thomas, I'm certainly not jumping on him right away, but I will hold Jamison Crowder.
I just want to talk about how Jamison Crowder was my take a chance on me wide receiver last week. Yeah. I get a happy trombone, too.
Yes.
Sam Darnold likes to target the slot, but Sam Darnold has mono. When Darnold does return, it's likely that's about when Chris Herndon returns. And I think that saps a lot of what was making Crowder super targetable, the inside targets. Herndon's the guy I want the most, but in a redraft league, you won't have to pick him up until we tell you to pick him up in premature speculation next week.
Yeah, it's probably coming.
By the way, go get Herndon now, because you can afford to sit on him for 4 days.
This is a premature
AJ
speculation.
Green and Kareem Hunt and Hunter Henry.
And Tyreek Hill.
You should drop them all. Sam Darnold's mono is going to be 2 to 4 weeks, right? So he's basically nuked all the receivers for 4 weeks. And now the bye is week 4. Now it's week 5. And here comes the Eagles, then the Cowboys, then the Patriots, and then the Jaguars. Those are all negative matchups for the passing game. Eagles, Cowboys, Patriots, Jaguars. But allow me to note this. After everybody has, at that point, washed their hands of the Jets receivers, their schedule becomes the easiest passing schedule in the NFL. it's a breeze the rest of the way. And at that point, in somewhere in week 7, week 8, you're going to be able to strike on a bunch of Jets and get hot in the second half.
Do they happen to get the Dolphins twice in like the playoffs?
No, they don't. They get. I think the Dolphins are week 10 or so.
Okay.
Not twice in the fantasy playoffs. That would have been handy.
Yeah.
Not the case.
You better wash your hands with that mono going around.
Well, there's a good point. It's a good point. Vikings take on the Packers. Let's try to break down this game a little bit from the Vikings side. Dalvin Cook, extraordinary in the first game. Got 78% of the plays for the Vikings are running plays. They only threw 10 passes in the game.
They were still running him like deep into the fourth quarter up by 3 touchdowns.
I was like, let's get some Alexander Madison in here. And actually, Madison looked good too, and he averaged 5 yards a carry. Last week, the Bears abandoned the run against the Packers instantly. And so I don't think I got a really good feel for the Packers' run defense and how good it really might be, and if it's whether or not it's particularly improved from last year.
You couldn't get a good feel for anything on that first game between the Packers and Bears.
It was so weird,
ugly.
Right? And Mitch Trubisky was so bad. So I think, you know, there'll be a concerted effort to get Cook going. He gets an A grade here, and let me mention this as well. The Bears' backs had 15 receptions in the game, and Cook's coming off a 6-reception game last week.
That's just Tariq Cohen, who played slot receiver more than anybody, who I'll highlight in the next matchup.
All right, there you go. That was still 15 receptions. Tariq Cohen was 8 of them or whatever. So there's still plenty of receptions to go around. Cook's an obvious A. The passing game has got a lot of people worried because of the 10 attempts last week by Kirk Cousins, plus the offensive line looked bad. Finished dead last, the Vikings offensive line, in pass protection by Pro Football Focus after week 1. And I worry about Cousins finding time to hit his receivers downfield. The Packers pass rush looked amazing on Thursday, and the Vikings offensive line isn't nearly as good as the Bears is. So I'm nervous here. Cousins was good in both matchups last year, but this Packers defense feels so much better and so much faster. I've got just a C grade on Cousins. I've got a B grade on Adam Thielen. In the 2 divisional matchups with Green Bay last year, Thielen caught 20 passes for 256 yards and 2 touchdowns. Now, the beauty of Thielen is he will play the X, Y, and the Z positions, so they can match him up against the aged Tremont Williams or the rusty Kevin King. They can find their matchups with him, so I give him a B grade. Diggs less as much, and I think he's going to get a lot of Jair Alexander. I don't like that matchup as much, and I think Diggs wants to get free downfield more, and again, not sure if Cousins will have the time for that. So I've only got a C grade on Stephon Diggs.
Also, Thielen's last 2 trips to Lambeau, 12 receptions in each game.
Dang. We just mentioned Stephon Diggs. Kyle Rudolph, 0 catches last week. Despite playing 100% of the Vikings snaps, he had no catches and 1 target. I think he will catch a pass. So I'm going to go on a limb. He will have at least 1 pass.
He did have 1 called back on penalty.
He had a pass called back on, a reception called back on penalty. Last week, the Bears' tight ends combined for 1 catch for 6 yards against Green Bay. And now they've got these speedy linebackers who are perfectly well-suited to cover a guy like Rudolph. So I've got him on the bench until we have a better read on how he's going to fit into this Vikings offense. Let's go to the Green Bay side. Aaron Rodgers gets a Mike Zimmer defense that has absolutely throttled him, as well as any team in the past. He has thrown 0 or 1 touchdowns in 5 of the past 6 games. The Vikings secondary may be shorthanded. Well, they will be shorthanded without slot cornerback Mackenzie Alexander, which does give some help for Aaron Rodgers here. He can target potentially Geronimo Allison in the slot against safety Jayron Kearse, who's going to get moved to slot cornerback. That could be a plus matchup for him. So I kind of like him there for that particular reason. Also, potentially a nice game. And by the way, a B grade for Aaron Rodgers. B grade on Marquez Valdez-Scantling in a speed versus speed matchup with Trey Waynes. Now, Trey Waynes gave up a longish touchdown, and in a speed versus speed matchup last week ended up giving up a touchdown to Calvin Ridley, also a very fast player and somebody that concerns me at least a little bit. Davante Adams has had a fair, and by the way, Marquez Valdez-Scantling gets a B grade. Davante Adams gets a B grade. He draws Xavier Rhodes primarily in this matchup, but mostly he's been pretty good against the Vikings last year. Average game, 7 catches, 67 yards. Found the end zone in both of those games. So I've got a B grade on him. Then there's Aaron Jones. And this one is a little bit trickier. Aaron Jones did absolutely nothing in the Thursday night opener. And now he gets another very good run defense. The Vikings have allowed just 2 100-yard rushers in their last 33 games. Think about that.
Underappreciated part about the Aaron Jones situation. A lot of people were really high on him this year, but realize now he has to play the Bears twice and the Vikings twice.
I know. That's tough.
And Detroit, who's no picnic either. Yeah.
No,
the run.
Snacks Harrison. Right. Yeah. I mean, the time to trade for Aaron Jones might be
after this week
with a frustrated owner who might be 0-2. The Vikings and Linval Joseph, their run stuffer, completely shut down Devonta Freeman last week and looked very fast and impressive in the opener. I've got just a C grade on Aaron Jones in this game. And also, by the way, stop using Jamal Williams. For the love of God, he's terrible.
People are using Jamal Williams?
Well, the team is in real life. Oh. Fantasy players aren't.
Okay.
I mentioned Geronimo Allison. I just want to drill down on this for a second. I love the juicy matchup in the slot against a backup slot cornerback, but he had a juicy matchup last week against Buster Skrine in the slot, and they didn't throw to him one time. So I've got a bench grade on Geronimo Allison, even though I really think they should correct that and go back to Allison here. But I'm rattled after last week, and I can't get myself to advocate for that.
You seem rattled.
I am. I'm deeply rattled to my core. Every week, you can play the Crush Charge Championship for free at fanball.com. When you assemble a better salary cap team than mine, you get a shot at this week's prize pool. $1,000, and it's free to play. And more importantly, when you beat me, that gets you an entry into our Week 17 championship where you'll battle me for the $10,000 grand prize. Go to fanball.com/charge. Fanball.com/charge. When we come back, dig back into the matchup. Chicago takes on Denver. Will we get better results for your Chicago Bears when they have to go up against their former defensive coordinator, Vic Fangio? Find out next. Regular season edition of Fantasy Football Weekly. We are breaking down every Sunday and Monday NFL game. Fantasy style, we put letter grades on all the players, explain who we like, who we don't like. You can decide if you agree or not. That's the beauty of this. And if you think we're right, then you should go along with our grades. If you think we're stupid, then don't. That's up to you. You can get even more of all of this. If you like this sort of approach, you'll want to check out all of my player rankings available for free when you go to fanball.com/charge. Every meaningful player broken down, ranked, and explained.
Maybe some people are listening just because of how stupid we are.
Well, yeah, that's the best part of the show.
The ongoing
stupidity.
Yeah.
Speaking of stupidity, let's switch this up to sad tromboneski.
Aww.
I know. Couldn't have looked worse on Thursday night. Two Thursday nights ago now. Mitch Trubisky, and now he has to face the defensive coordinator that he practiced against that knows everything about him.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very tricky spot for him to try to rebound in. What do you think, Matt? Is there something to be salvaged from that Bears offense?
Maybe a little bit, but it's the lowest over-under of the week with 40.5. And an interesting stat, since 2000, the Broncos are 22-1 in home games in week 1 or 2 of the season. They're super good in Mile High in September.
Okay.
They just keep winning. So Trubisky, I got him on the bench. He dropped back to pass the third most in the league last week, 53 times. That's good.
No. I don't think it's good for fantasy. It's a lot, but yes, okay.
But he averaged a horrible 5.1 yards per attempt and had a hideous game-ending pick. He was also sacked 5 times. Obviously, he plays against the coach that practiced against him every day for the last 2 years. It's bad for Trubisky. I am going to give Allen Robinson a B. If anybody gets going, it's going to be A-Rob. He had 153 air yards last week, which was sixth best in the league, and was targeted 13 times, which was more than all other wide receivers and tight ends combined on the Bears. So,
and by the way, Trubisky still missed him open on several plays.
Yeah, it was a little bit erratic.
Yeah, slightly.
Allen Robinson should see Chris Harris shadow coverage when on the outside.
Yeah,
but
that worries me.
Nagy sent Robinson to the slot on 45% of his plays last week. When he wasn't in the slot, it was Tariq Cohen playing the slot almost the rest of those plays. He gets a C grade. He's listed as a running back, but he's playing wide receiver, and he's ahead of Anthony Miller on the wide receiver depth chart right now. Cohen was on the field for 72% of the plays last week, so I think that he's in an interesting little spot as kind of weapon X on that team. He's the only running back I'd start, though. Mike Davis and David Montgomery are on the bench. Davis outsnapped Monty 56 to 36% last week.
Gross.
Outtouched him 11-7.
Tragedy. Gross.
I don't get it. Nagy's going to keep using Davis as the feature back until he figures out Montgomery is better. And it's a shame because fellow rookie Josh Jacobs just torched the Broncos defense for 113 total yards and two scores last week. Should mention Trey Burton still has a groin injury. His status is up in the air, but he's on the bench. On the Broncos side, everybody's on the bench. Phillip Lindsay and Royce Freeman. It was an almost even split last week. Almost 50-50. Lindsay got 53% of the snaps. Freeman got 47. And the Bears defense is still legit. They held Aaron Jones to 39 total yards on 14 touches.
Yep.
Joe Flacco is the worst starting quarterback in the league, so he's on your bench. And Cortland Sutton and Emmanuel Sanders are both going to be on your bench, too. The Broncos are facing the Bears, not the Raiders. The Bears held Davante Adams to 4 catches and 36 yards last week. And despite Sutton and Sanders each putting up decent fantasy points, it was mainly in garbage time. This game is going to be insanely low scoring. There will not be a moment for the Broncos to open it up. So
I agree
they're both on the bench.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. Kansas City takes on Oakland. I want to start with the running backs. I was skeptical about LeSean McCoy because he looked just so spent when he was in Buffalo the last couple of years. But, you know, at least it seems rejuvenated. Maybe it's just, you know, part of being in this amazing offense for Kansas City. What do you think about LeSean McCoy in this matchup?
Well, yeah, let's do a little comparison of McCoy and Damian Williams because both of them were certainly involved. McCoy was only on the field for 29% of the snaps compared to 66% for Williams. McCoy was clearly the superior runner. He had 10 carries for 81 yards. Williams gained just 26 yards on his 13 carries. But Williams got all of the important fantasy point scoring action.
Yeah.
He was the guy catching passes. He was the guy in the red zone. He had 4 of the 5 red zone carries. He was targeted in the passing game 3 times in the red zone. He scored a short touchdown. He had 6 pass receptions. So I think you can play McCoy here. I've got a C-level starting grade on him. But it's going to be all whatever he can do on the ground. And he may need to score from distance because it feels like Williams is the red zone guy. So nothing better than a C. I've got a B on Damian Williams in part because of the split. He's clearly giving up enough of the work to McCoy.
Yeah.
But he is getting the important looks. So still a B-level grade here against a very middling Raiders defense. They're going to put up all sorts of points. They're going to be in scoring position, so Williams can be in your lineup. The passing game is obvious here. A-plus on Patrick Mahomes. A-plus-plus on Sammy Watkins, who all of a sudden, by the way, congratulations if you took Sammy Watkins as like your second wide receiver in the third or fourth round now that Tyreek Hill is out. Yeah. And an A-plus-plus-plus-plus to Travis Kelce.
See, this is why. Because you give people an inch, and this is what they do.
In the Week 13 matchup.
A-plus to the power of 7.
In the Week 13 matchup with the Raiders last year, all Travis Kelce did was 168 yards and 2 touchdowns. So he's obviously in your lineup. And even Mecole Hardman, he was my take-a-chance-on-me wide receiver. So start them all. Start all your Chiefs. On the Raiders side, Derek Carr, garbage time.
Woo!
He was my take-a-chance-on-me quarterback. That also brings Tyrell Williams, the new number one wide receiver, into play. Had over 100 yards and a touchdown. The Chiefs got just abused last week by DJ Chark and Chris Conley, of all people.
Geez.
They combined for 243 receiving yards and 2 touchdowns. So Williams is a good play here. I've got a B.
How good?
I've got a B on him. Right. Maybe B and a half? Maybe? B.5?
Oh, is that up to
B?
Is that
B? A, bay? Bay?
An ab? Yes. You got an ab on him?
And then Darren Waller. I put an A on Waller. He looked fantastic last week, played every single snap, led the Raiders with 8 targets. The Chiefs had the NFL's worst tight end defense last year. They allowed the 4th most yards and the most touchdowns to the position. So get Darren Waller in your lineup again this week. That leaves us with the running game and Josh Jacobs. He had a pretty spectacular debut, at least by the box score. Mm-hmm. Scored 2 touchdowns. Wasn't that involved in the air. As we've mentioned, the Chiefs' defense, not great. They're not great against the run either. They allowed the 5th most rushing yards and the 6th most rushing touchdowns last year. The problem here could be game script. I think we're going to see... A, we're going to see if Josh Jacobs has some receiving game chops.
Yeah, they're going to have to.
Or B, we're going to see if it's just going to be a Jalen Richard game as the Raiders are trying to play catch-up. So Richard could be a sneaky play here, but the Raiders didn't use him much against Kansas City last year. He had just 3 catches in one game and 2 in the other. So I gave Jacobs a B starting grade because he's a clear workhorse here. But there's a little risk that this becomes a Richard receiving game.
For sure. Seattle takes on Pittsburgh. Let's start with the running game for Seattle, because my guy, Chris Carson, scored twice last week, and he has now found the end zone in 5 straight games and 8 of his last 10 games. And Pittsburgh has allowed rushing touchdowns to backs in 7 of their last 9 going back to last year. I like him to score again here. Now, the Steelers were great against the run last week, even in a blowout, and I don't know that it gets a lot easier through the air for Chris Carson either. The Steelers have allowed an opposing running back to top 46 receiving yards in just 8 of their last 47 games. So it's going to be, I think Carson scratches out a meaningful game with a touchdown here, but I don't know that he even gets to 100 total yards. It might be a little bit like last week where the yardage isn't great, but the touchdowns help you out. Let's go to the passing game. By the way, B grade for Chris Carson. A B grade on Russell Wilson. If the Steelers secondary wants a rebound from last week's nationally televised embarrassment, they're going to need to do it without cornerback Joe Iron Hayden.
Clink.
Clink. Ow.
There we go.
Hayden's injury is only half the problem, though. Opposite him is Steven Nelson, who was disastrous last year with Kansas City and allowed a touchdown in his coverage on Sunday night as well. Now, Tyler Lockett probably plays here, but if he does not go, then Russell Wilson drops down to a C grade and maybe even a bench grade at that point, because they just don't have much in the way of depth here at all. So let's go to Tyler Lockett. He's a game time decision. Watch his back injury. And back injuries are something you have to watch all the way up to kickoff, because the back injury flares up, tightens up, or whatever, and you think they're going to go, and then they don't go. So be careful. Lockett faces a Steelers team that gave up 3 touchdowns of at least 22 yards to the Patriots in week 1. And here comes Lockett, known for his deep speed. So I got to like that matchup. And he played 60% of his snaps from the slot last week. And if that holds up, he'll be facing Pittsburgh cornerback Mike Hilton, who struggled to contain Julian Edelman last week. A B grade on Tyler Lockett. C grade on DK Metcalf, which actually surprises me. If Lockett doesn't go, by the way, then I'd like Metcalf even less, because he'd get extra coverage here. But I thought Metcalf was going to be a guy that was going to really struggle out of the gates, because he was very raw. Yeah. The number of routes he could run was thought to be very limited. They threw to him plenty, and he looked pretty good. Steelers secondary gashed last week, as I already mentioned, and his size frame comparison, similar to Josh Gordon, who had a nice big game in the opener. So, yeah, I could see a C grade on DK Metcalf here, and he was on the field 77% of the snaps.
That's surprising.
That is surprising for the first start rookie. Will Disley probably will not play in this game. Let's go to the Steelers side. We began with Ben Roethlisberger, who looked dreadful on Saturday night. He kept throwing the ball to Dante Moncrief. For the love of God, just stop with the Dante Moncrief. Oh, man. Now, the good news is, going up against Seattle, Andy Dalton just put up a 400-yarder on Seattle last week. But to me, the whole John Ross 2 long touchdowns thing feels like kind of a fluke, and the Steelers don't have the same speed guy on roster.
John Ross was in a homecoming game last week, too.
Oh, there was that.
University of Washington.
There was that. Yep. There you go. So I'm lukewarm on Ben, and I've just got a B. And it was, for a while, I had it as a C grade, but as Juju appears to be at full health here, I've moved Ben back up to a B grade. And remember, his home splits are bonkers. Since 2016, his average home game, 309 yards and 2.5 touchdowns per game. So
on Fanball, Steelers stack is an interesting stack that nobody's going to be thinking about doing.
The Juju Smith-Schuster part
Juju,
of it?
Vance.
How about Vance McDonald?
And James Conner.
Vance McDonald is my take a chance
there we
on
go.
Guy. Let's talk about Juju. The toe injury, he should play, though. He's playing both the slot where he had always played before, and they're breaking him out wide. From the slot, he has a very favorable matchup against rookie cornerback Ugo Amadi. Ugo Amadi.
You just like to say Ugo.
Ugo Amadi. And when he's outside, he can match up with Trey Flowers, who gave up 170 yards in his coverage last week. How about that? So there's your Steelers stack.
There it is.
Right there. Juju Smith-Schuster.
How do you not just pull him off the field at some point?
Yeah, I know. How do you watch? Yeah, just how do you watch that happen and unfold in front of you? The only other receivers I'm going to mention, Dante Moncrief, just don't do it. Deontay Johnson, we're going to talk more about later. Vance McDonald's may take a chance on me guy. James Conner, though, a B grade. Seattle stuffed the Bengals runners last week, but Cincinnati's offensive line is on the other side of the spectrum from the Steelers, and Conner should have success through the air here. Last season, the Seahawks allowed the sixth most receptions, third most receiving yards, and the most receiving touchdowns to opposing running backs. James Conner can catch. So can Jalen Samuel, who you could be as a dark horse potential dart throw. You could start here as well. And I'll mention this. Last week, Mixon and Bernard caught all five of their targets. James Conner's a beast start, and Parks, I think he's going to chip in meaningful numbers through the air. Our final topics are ahead when we provide you with three guys we believe will be hot waiver wire pickups next week, so you can grab them this week. We're jumping in the time machine. And how does the time machine sound? No. Blammo! Time machines go blammo on this show. Whether you are ready for it or not, premature speculation is happening next on Fantasy Football Weekly. Speculation is the most popular segment on Fantasy Football Weekly. This is the bit where each of our hosts provides a player that will be a hot waiver wire pickup next week that you're going to want to grab this week to frustrate the rest of your league because you already got all the good guys. For about 10 minutes at the beginning of Sunday's games last week, I looked brilliant because I said Dontrell Hilliard, the Browns running back. Mm-hmm. He scores a goal line rushing touchdown.
Vulture to touchdown.
And then immediately gets a concussion. He's gone for the game. And I'm like, oh, I had it for 10 minutes. I'm like, oh, brilliant. My premature speculation came in hard right off the bat. And look.
Mine didn't work out last week, but we're not going to talk about that.
What do we want to talk about? Who is your premature speculation?
I can't believe I'm doing this. It's Jason Witten.
Wow.
Yeah, Jason Witten scored last week, although it was a quiet 4 targets, 3 catches, 15 yards. This week he faces Washington, which is a neutralish matchup, but Witten did score the last time he faced them. But next week.
Which year was that?
2017.
Okay.
Yeah, it was only one year removed. Next week, he's facing Miami in Dallas, and you want to start everybody against Miami.
Well, sure.
The Dolphins on the road. Sign me up for that. The Dolphins gave up 14 receptions for 175 to tight ends in week one, and the only two good players on their roster are Xavien Howard and Minkah Fitzpatrick. Mm. They're going to be on the outsides covering Michael Gallup and Amari Cooper, leaving the middle of the field wide open for Witten. He's going to score in that Miami game, and if you need some tight end help, maybe Hunter Henry went down, maybe O.J. Howard sucks. Jason Witten's a guy that you can pick up. I think you'll be happy that you did.
All right, Christian, your premature speculation player is...
I'm going to go with Deontay Johnson, the rookie wide receiver for Pittsburgh. We just talked about how awful Dante Moncrief looked in week one. By the way, it would have been nice to know that he's been battling a dislocated finger since early in training camp.
Yeah.
I didn't see that news until he dropped 7 of the 10 targets thrown his way in week one.
No kidding. Ugh.
Meanwhile, James Washington, I think, has established himself this point. It is just a deep threat and nothing more. Yeah. And he's an inconsistent guy. So that leaves room for somebody to emerge opposite Juju Smith-Schuster. And I think that somebody is Johnson, who is basically an Antonio Brown clone. Like, literally, they're the same height, the same weight. They have the same reach, the same hand size.
They both have blonde mustaches.
Almost identical 40 times. They both had their feet frostbitten in a cryogenic chamber.
Yeah.
The Steelers drafted this guy as Antonio Brown's replacement, and it sounds like you found an article with some quotes from the Steelers coaching staff that were like, yeah, we got to get this guy more involved.
Yeah.
And with Moncrief not impressing and James Washington kind of a bit player, I think that starts as early as this week. You're going to see Deontay Johnson get more involved, and being the receiver on the opposite side of Juju Smith-Schuster.
Always a good thing.
Yep.
It was Isaac Newton who said, for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction.
Is he on the Steelers staff?
You can't argue with the law of physics, my friends. It's against the law to argue with the law of physics. When Dante Pettis plays two snaps, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Deebo Samuel playing 60 snaps in the game, leading the whole team by a wide margin for the 49ers. Every wide receiver who leads his team in plays should be on a roster. Deebo Samuel, unrostered in most leagues. Especially if your coach is Kyle Shanahan, you must be rostered. Deebo caught all three of his targets last week. This week he draws an aging, fading Drake Kirkpatrick. He could post a nice game here, but he'll already be on your roster because that's the law of physics. New Orleans takes on the Rams in an epic rematch from two different games last season, but especially the NFC Championship game. Matt, tell us about it.
Jared Goff gets an A grade. I told you about his negative road splits, especially in outdoor games. He did not disappoint. Well, wait, he did disappoint fantasy owners last week.
Didn't disappoint me
because I knew it. 186-1-1 last week. Last year at home, though, Goff enjoyed a 22-3 touchdown interception ratio and 342 passing yards per game, and the Saints gave up three passing scores to Deshaun Watson last week. Robert Woods, he's getting a B. He led the team in targets with 13, only managed five catches for 71 and six for 33 in the two meetings last year, but he has had five catches in 16 of his last 19 starts. Might see a little bit of Marshawn Lattimore, although it looks like it'll be a fairly good split between him and Cooks. And Cooks gets an A grade. He's played two games as a Ram against the Saints, and he's revenged them both times. 7 for 107, 6 for 114 and 1, and he wasn't utilized much last week. This is a get-right spot for him. Cooper Kupp, I'm also giving an A grade, looked healthy on field for 89% of the snaps, 10 targets, logged five catches for 89 yards, and a score when these teams met in the regular season last year. And he faces PJ Williams in the slot. That's their worst rated cover corner
by a lot
for the Saints. Todd Gurley and Malcolm Brown. Malcolm Brown is my take a chance on me runner. Todd Gurley, I'm giving a B. The NFL leader in yards after contact, well, he's number three right now, Todd Gurley, 5.2. And it's worth noting that the Rams offensive line was the second worst run blocking unit in week one, hence the early contact on the runners.
Yeah.
Gurley and Malcolm Brown were making things happen despite the offensive line. They're going to try to keep touches off Gurley, though, which you don't want to see. But the Saints gave up 8.3 yards per carry to Carlos Hyde last week.
Wow.
And a healthy Carlos Hyde is the same as a part-time Todd Gurley with no knees.
By the way, the Saints last year, I believe, were 3.2 yards per carry on the season.
Yeah.
That's it. And they just got steamrolled by Carlos freaking Hyde. Come on.
The elusive Carlos freaking Hyde.
Suddenly elusive. Yes.
We're not chasing Tyler Higbee's touchdown either. Alvin Kamara gets an A grade. How did Christian McCaffrey fare against the Rams defense last week? It was pretty good. Michael Thomas gets an A grade. 12 for 211 and 1 in the regular season matchup last year, but only 4 for 36 in the playoffs. I'm not worried. Michael Thomas is great. Drew Brees, B grade. We know about his negative road splits. Yards per attempt went from 9.5 in New Orleans to 6.9 on the road. So he only gets the B grade here, but it is a shootout potential game, so you still got to like Brees a little bit.
Yeah.
Jared Cook gets a C grade. Only 3 targets, 2 catches, and 37 yards. That was a bummer. The Rams were one of 8 teams to allow over 1,000 yards to the tight end last year, and I'm hoping that was just a weird game off and not the trend of the Saints not using the tight end position anymore. Finally, Ted Ginn and Traquan Smith, I'm giving both of them a C. Smith ran 60% of his routes out of the slot last week, which would mean he'd draw the most favorable matchup against nickel Roby Coleman. But the Saints move their wide receivers around more than just about any team. So in a shootout potential game, Ted Ginn looked good, had over 100 yards last week. I think he's a good play.
Let's go to Cleveland taking on the Jets. Christian.
Yeah,
this is the Monday nighter.
This is the Monday nighter. Yeah. Let's see if Cleveland can have a bounce back after an ugly, ugly week one performance by Baker Mayfield. Three interceptions. They did not look like the high-powered offense everybody was expecting coming into the year.
Yeah.
But there's a chance here against the Jets. The Jets were bottom 10 last year in QB yards and touchdowns allowed, and they just let Josh Allen throw for a career-high 254 yards in week one. So I've got Baker Mayfield in a bounce back here. I gave him a B-level starting grade. Odell Beckham Jr. was highly involved, led the team with 11 targets. He's going to go nuts against the Jets secondary that let the Bills' John Brown go for 123 yards and a touchdown last week. A grade on Odell Beckham.
Homecoming game of sorts to his old home field.
Yeah, it is his old home field. That's a good point.
That's a little bit of a reach. Just a little stretch.
Same stadium.
Yeah. Jarvis Landry, I've got a B-level starting grade on. He had four receptions for 67 yards on seven targets in the week one matchup, and the slot is something you can exploit against the Jets. Slot corner Brian Poole was Pro Football Focused 112th ranked cornerback last year. So I like Jarvis Landry to bounce back as well. David Njoku was pretty much the only guy who did anything last week, scored a touchdown. The Jets were very good against opposing tight ends last year, though. I would start him if you usually would. I gave him a B-level starting grade here.
That's generous. Okay.
Nick Chubb, I've got an A grade on. Mm. He was quiet in week one, but I think the game's script here with Sam Darnold out for the Jets on the other side. I think the Browns are going to be ahead in this game. They're going to be grinding the clock. The Jets are also potentially missing key defenders Quinnen Williams and C.J. Mosley.
Yeah.
Mosley last week, after he got hurt, their defense fell apart. So if he doesn't play, there's especially a good chance that Chubb is going to go bonkers here. I've got an A grade on him. On the Jets side, we really already talked about the passing game. We said you should literally drop them all
literally
from your roster.
Everybody, every Jet passing player, everybody but Le'Veon Bell, basically.
Yeah, right? So needless to say, don't start any of them this week because they're not on your roster. Le'Veon Bell, I've got a B grade on him just because of the somewhat scary shoulder injury. He missed practice on Thursday, had to get an MRI. He's going to practice Saturday. Sounds like he's going to play Monday. Cleveland had a bottom 10 run defense last year. They were just roasted by Derrick Henry for 159 combined rushing and receiving yards and two touchdowns. B-level start on Le'Veon Bell.
All right, let's go to the Eagles taking on the Falcons for our final matchup of the show. That is the Sunday night game. Carson Wentz gets an A grade here, even though the Vikings didn't test the Falcons secondary at all. The Eagles will, and I like the matchup for the Eagles receivers. Cornerback Isaiah Oliver is a serious liability for the Falcons, and he was exploited by the Vikings last week. Desmond Trufant has speed, but he only plays one side of the field, so the Eagles can scheme DeSean Jackson to go against Oliver, and so DeSean Jackson, after the explosive game in week one, gets a B grade in week two, because I do believe he's going to have that speed advantage over slot, especially if he goes out of the slot, where he'll meet DeMonte Kazee as well, who's a converted safety. So I think Jackson can win from a few places, and I like him a lot here. Alshon Jeffrey had a nice game last week. He can avoid cornerback Desmond Trufant by lining up on the other side of the field if he wants to, but he might not want to because he can just out-muscle Trufant if he wants. So I think he can win from both sides of the field too. So B grade in Alshon Jeffrey here. And staying with the passing game, Zach Ertz, A grade, second on the team in targets, receptions, and yards last week. Vikings didn't even throw. They threw one pass that was called back to a tight end. They even tried the tight end. Ertz, though, targeted 10 times when these teams met last year. He will be just fine. All three of the running backs startable here with C grades. Miles Sanders is the most interesting one. He had a 19-yard run, but his other 10 carries gained 6 yards.
Yeah.
I'm worried that the coaching staff's going to give him a lesser role here, and that makes Jordan Howard startable, because this is a bad defense against the run that gave up over 5 yards per carry to the Vikings last week, and the Eagles have a better offensive line by a lot. So even Jordan Howard gets a C grade, and Darren Sproles was my take-a-chance-on-me runner. Let's go to the Falcons side. Beginning with the running game, Devonta Freeman gets a C. The Falcons lost guard Chris Lindstrom, first rounder. That is a big loss. The Eagles countered that by losing their own defensive tackle, Malik Jackson. So maybe those two things neutralize each other. But make no mistake here, the line of scrimmage belongs to the Eagles, and Atlanta's line was brutal last week. The Eagles have been extremely rough on runners over the past four games, allowing less than 28 rushing yards per game. That worries me, and that's why we're down to a C grade on Devonta Freeman. Let's move to the passing game. Matt Ryan gets a B. I am worried about the offensive line. As I mentioned, Chris Lindstrom out. Ryan's going to be harried by an excellent front four anchored by Brandon Graham and Fletcher Cox. And he's faced the Eagles in three straight seasons, and the results are discouraging, just with per-game averages of just 242 yards and 0.7 passing touchdowns for Matt Ryan. So it's barely a C-grade, and really only because Julio Jones, who's got a B-grade, matches up against Ronald Darby, who just got worked by Redskins rookie Terry McLaurin for 125 yards. And
Terry McLaurin!
Terry! Jones has a height size advantage of 4 inches and 30 pounds over Darby, so I like Julio in this game too. And then Calvin Ridley. Falcons can get Ridley on lead-footed cornerback Rasul Douglas at will by putting him on the right side of the field, and that's a positive matchup. So I like the receivers. I just got to hope Matt Ryan stays upright long enough. And finally, a C grade on Austin Hooper. Silent in last year's meeting between these two, and the Eagles were outstanding against tight ends last year, so I'm a little bit nervous, even though we had a good game last season.
Start everybody.
It's start 13 players from this matchup. It is crazy. Guys, we've had a lot of fun in the show. Thank you very much for listening and all of your help with it. If you like the show, go to fanball.com/charge for my free player rankings, my free $1,000 weekly contest for guillotine leagues, more podcasts, and everything else that you would want fantasy football related. And for more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks to everybody who takes time to rank and review the show on your podcasting platform of choice as well. Talk to you next week, everybody. Bye-bye.